Okay, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
I want to start a new topic, but we got cut off a little earlier last week, so I'll try and keep that in mind. I'm just gonna finish off the last few items that we were discussing last week. We discussed various things that you can take care of, like are you allowed to kill bugs? We said it depends if they are dangerous or not, whether they attack, whether they're poisonous, whether you're allowed to catch them, not catch them, what they could do, whether they right now being in a damage or not. Then we spoke about other types of damages and mazikin and things that can hurt in the home. And we said that we separated into two classes, those that are in Rishus HaYochid and those Rishus HaRabim, that if you have some sort of danger in the private Rishus here does not mean what we mean for Eruvin, the difference between private domain and public domain. But private, we mean when there are two or less people that are gonna frequent this place. And public means when there's three or more people gonna be frequenting this place. So when there's a multiple amount of people that are gonna be frequenting this place, we have to be more careful not to have something dangerous lying around. Whereas if it's just few people, we have less heterin. When there's few people, when it's a makom yachid, we allow tiltul mukta, and that's it. Therefore, practically speaking, a glass shatters and there's shards all over the floor. You may pick them up and throw them out. If you can, do it under the tiltul minatzad. Use a broom and a dustpan. That way, you're not actually handling it with your hands. You're using tiltul minatzad, using another clean order to do it. But it is mutter, even though the broken glass are mukta. Nevertheless, it is mutter to clear it up. If you have such a danger, such a item that is in a public space, public, we said, is when there's multiple, when there's three or more people, so this could mean in the street, on a sidewalk, could mean in a hall or in a passageway or in a shul or something like that. So then we not only allow mukta, but we might even allow carrying if it's not a daraisa. Therefore, the example given in the halacha is if someone left a branch from a thorn bush lying in the street and people might stumble over it and hurt themselves. So not only can you move it because of the issue of mukta, but even for carrying, you can do a carrying derabbanan. What's a carrying derabbanan? If the place that the item is does not have an eruv, but it is not a Rishus HaRabim daraisa, it doesn't have all the criteria of being a public domain min haTorah. That means that to be a public domain, as we've said earlier, is a place that is 60 amos wide. It has a thoroughfare of at least 600,000 people. It goes across the neighborhood and it's open on both ends and it doesn't have doors that close at night. If it has all those criteria, then we will say that it is a public thoroughfare. But if it's not that, if it's lacking one of those qualities, then it's only a karmelis, which is only asur midrabbanan, and therefore we'll say that the issur of carrying is only an issur drabbanan. Therefore, you can be doicha drabbanan b'makom sakana, b'makom where there's damage, danger to passers-by. So then you can move the item, you can push it to the side of the road, even if there's a road that doesn't have an eruv around it. We spoke about pouring salt or sand onto a slippery floor. The floor's dangerous to bypass and people need to go through there, so you can put this out in order to help people pass this area as long as the floor is smooth and is paved. If it would be unpaved, then it would be a problem of ashuya gumus, of filling up holes, and therefore there would be a problem of boiling on Shabbos. Another case, and that was what we ended off with, we'll get to now, and that is if you have a field that is burning and it is not life-threatening, it's not going to burn down someone's house where there are people, one can get away from it, but because it is not being controlled, so it could lead to a danger. There's children in the area, and the children might play with a fire, they might run towards it instead of away from it, and not realize the danger that the wind could change directions in any second. And so if it is sakonas nefashos, that means that there's a danger to life, so there's no questions asked. If you see that children are nearby and the wind can change direction, they might not get away in time, then of course you do whatever is needed to be done in order to save you from a sakonas nefashos. We're talking about where there's no sakonas nefashos. It is in a limited area and it doesn't have a chance of spreading to a place that would be supposed to be. But we're afraid that you don't just leave an unattended fire. Children might do something, might play with it. Or another example would be, we have Lagaboyma coming up next week, and if a person, if they made a bonfire and the coals were left lying and they weren't properly extinguished and they left lying overnight, the next morning those coals can be a danger. So Lagaboyma this week is going to be an Amotzi Shabbos. So to have burning embers till the next Friday night is not practical in the way Lagaboyma falls out this year. But if Lagaboyma would be on a Thursday night and enormous bonfires were made Thursday night and the embers are still lying around by the time Shabbos comes in and you discover it on a Friday night, this would be the same type of case. Or we had not so long ago, Erev Pesach, everybody burns their chametz, they make big fires. And it doesn't get properly extinguished, and you're walking home from shul on Seder night, Yom Tov is the same thing as Shabbos, Lagabe Kibui, you come home Seder night, and you see that there's coals still lying around. We're not talking about chametz, that's a separate story, but you have coals, there's coals, there's burnt wood, that's coals is lying around, and children are curious. They don't realize how dangerous the coals are, how hot they could be, they just see white ash, they don't know anything what's underneath it. So then, this is a danger, but it's not a danger to life. There's no flammable materials within the vicinity that can catch fire and cause it to go up again. It's going to go out, la'at, slowly, slowly, it will eventually extinguish. But in the meantime, someone, something could walk over it, step on it, fiddle with it, and get hurt. Then it's a danger to the public. So then you're allowed to do a derabanan, which means you can take a bucket of water and pour it over it. Because that kibui is a derabanan, because kibui is a makalko, we're ruining things when we do kibui, and therefore it's a derabanan, and therefore to do a derabanan in a case of pesach derabim is mutter. The only case that kibui would be doraisa is if a person is doing it for the sake of achieving something, such as if you want to make charcoal. You burn a piece of wood and put it out, so now that you have a piece of charcoal, it will burn better next time. So you're achieving something positive, not just a negative, not just that you're getting rid of the fire, but you're actually making charcoal, which in a more practical case would be for people who pre-light wicks so that they light nicely the next time. So to pre-light a wick on Yom Tov, for example, in Shabbos anyway, you're not lighting, but on Yom Tov, you pre-light a wick and then you extinguish it. So even if you say that pre-lighting the wick, you're allowed to light a candle, but then extinguishing it in order to make it burn better next time, would be a problem of kibbutz or raisa. That would be also the manyam. Okay, so those are examples of things that are dangerous to the public, and therefore you can do it rabbanan in order to get rid of them. So more example, if you are snowed in, and people want to go out, and they would slip on the snow, so you can clear the snow away. If possible, one should get a goy to do it, but if there's no goy available, then the yid can do it as well, in order to avoid the public who crosses this area from slipping. If you have a floor that is made of earth, as was in the old, no, not of earth, you have a hot floor, and it is hot and dry, it is a sharab, it's a heat wave that comes in, and one way to cool off your house, especially if your air conditioning is not working, or in the days before that air conditioning, the person who lived in this apartment before me lived here without air conditioning, quite a feat. And he told me that when it got very, very hot, what he did was he flooded the mirpeset with water. And that cooled off the concrete of the mirpeset. And since the mirpeset is attached to the home, it seemed to have had an effect on the whole house. But when the mirpeset was cool, the whole house dropped a couple of degrees. So can you do that on Shabbos? The answer is yes. You may put water onto your floors on Shabbos in order to take away the heat and dryness. If you have a sick person in your house who's suffering from, who's suffering as a result, or the dryness in the air exacerbates his suffering, now you want to alleviate the suffering. So if it's a chole she'en bo sakana, or it's a child, so then you can do something in order to alleviate that's not a daraisa. So for example, what you can do is you can take a sheet and you can dip it in water and hang the sheet up. Now, the maisa, we hold that shriyusa zeh kibusa, when you soak material in water, that is considered as kibbutz and that is possible. But there are opinions that hold that if the material, the garment that you're soaking was clean to start with, excuse me, then the subsequent soaking is not considered cleaning because the garment was clean to soak to start with. We pass the halakha l'maaseh that one should be machmir even with clean garments. But here, where there's a necessity, we allow you to make or to take a clean garment. You cannot do this with a dirty one. Take a clean garment, soak it in water, and then hang it up. What you have to know is that after you hang it up, you have to be careful not to touch it, because you don't want to put any pressure on this garment that will cause the water to come out of it, because that would be squeezing. And another halacha that pertains to those things that we're discussing is that if you go for a walk on Shabbos and there's snow on the street, it is mutter to walk on snow, even though the snow is going to be getting crushed underfoot. But since you're not machaven to do it that way, that is not osur on Shabbos. You're just walking to get somewhere. And if your purpose is not just to crush the snow, but purpose to get somewhere, then you may walk on snow on Shabbos. Okay, that ended what I wanted to say last week, and now we'll start this week's topic, and that is taking care of plants and those type of things. Indoors, outdoors, anything which is plants. So one's taking care of plants. The main problem with taking care of plants on Shabbos is the issue of Zoreya. There's also, we'll see cases of Chorish, but Chorish is usually before you have plants, you're preparing the ground, which is going to count. We're going to deal with it as well, but as I said, so we've got Chorish, Zoreya, Koitzer, three first malachas of Shabbos. Chorish in its Av Malacha form means to plow the ground, and therefore anything which is preparatory, preparation of the ground for future planting, is considered chayrish. Preparing ground for building is not chayrish, it is boine. But preparing ground for planting will be chayrish. So the typical case is actually plowing it, you turn over the earth and loosen it, that will be plowing. But even if you poured water on a field that has nothing growing on it, but you're doing it in order to soften the ground, so that it can be plowed, or so that you can plant in it, that also less chayrish. Zoreya is, in the typical sense, is putting the seed into the ground, and it's planting. But anything which encourages the growth of the plant is also considered zoreya. So therefore, a toldo zoreya would be to water the flowers, to fertilize them, to do weeding, to get rid of the stones that are obstructing their growth, to prune a flower, anything which is done to increase the growth of the flower would be, of the plant, would be considered as the melacha of Zoreya. Once the plant has grown, and then, or even once the plant has a connection to its source of sustenance, and you disconnect it from its source of sustenance, that is considered koitzer. Usually koitzer is when the fruit or the grain, or the vegetable is ripe, and you cut it off the plant. But any uprooting of a plant from a sort of source of sustenance would also be a problem of koitzer. So those are the three main melachos that we need to deal with to understand. Koirish is the preparation, Zoreya is the encouragement of growth, and koitzer is bringing the growth to an end. So therefore, first thing we say is that anything which encourages growth, such as taking away stones, watering, putting out fertilizer, spraying against bugs, getting rid of weeds, pruning, and all those type of things are considered as Zoreya. The Isur of Zoreya applies evenly to plants that grow in a field, as well as plants that grow in water or in a pot plant. Doesn't make a difference whether the pot plant is an atzitz nakuv or atzitz she'ena nakuv. The difference between the two, let me explain. Atzitz is the word for a pot plant. Nakuv means that it has a hole. When a pot plant has a hole at the bottom, then hanachti is considered as getting its sustenance from the ground, and is considered mechubel lekarka. When a pot plant is made of a non-porous material and it has no holes, so then it is considered as disconnected from the ground, and therefore any melacha you do to it is not considered as a melacha in the ground. The nafkamina will be that if you do koitzer, for example, koitzer from the ground is a daraisa, koitzer from an ox is a darabah. There's also going to be a nafkamina in Hilchas Shmita, in Hilchas Trumas and Maisus, that something that grows in a situation where there's no connection to the ground does not have the same halachas daraisa as the case where there is an ox, it's knuckle. A pot plant that has a hole is considered, even if it's not sitting on the ground, mamish, but it has a hole underneath it, so we say that it is yonik from the ground, it has sustenance from the ground, and atish enanakul means that it has no hole whatsoever, it's disconnected, and therefore it would, if for certain circumstances, fall into a derabona. However, when it comes to zareya and encouraging growth, we're going to say that is also however it is. So whether you have a flower in water, you have a cut flower that is in a vase of water, if you do something to encourage the growth of that cut flower, that would be also mishum zareya. If you have a plant in a pot plant, so we're saying it makes a difference whether the pot plant has a hole or doesn't have a hole, that still is a problem of zareya if you did something to encourage the growth, like watering. And even if it's indoors and not outdoors, that also applies. A pot plant, whether it has a hole or not, is an item that is considered a mukta. If it got knocked over or fell on Shabbos, you may not pick it up. If the earth spilled out, you may not put the earth back in. All these things are something that's going to help the plant grow. The only form of moving such a pot plant would be if it was done min hatzad, like other or mukta, that if it's for the sake where you have a purpose that you need to move it, so then you do tilt them outside, you can put your foot and take a broomstick and move it. For example, the pot plant fell over, it's now in the middle of your passageway and you can't get through, so then you can push it with a something else, with a broom or a foot or something like that. So it still remains mukta, but you're allowed to tilt them outside in order to get it out of the way. So two, if a pot plant fell over in your living room and now there's mud on the floor, and that mud disturbs you, then you have the head of Graf Sharei to clear up that mud. Seeds, pits, or the likes, which, when planted, will grow. If you have wet ground, you cannot throw this onto wet ground. It should be better now. Okay. If you have a wet ground, or ground that is dry now, but is going to be wet, it's outdoors and it's going to rain on it, or you have a sprinkling system that's going to come on, or even if it doesn't, not going to rain on Shabbos, it's going to rain after Shabbos. But it's in a place where it's possible that this seed can take root, can grow, then we're going to say that it is also to throw these seeds onto the floor in such a place. Interesting, we're going to say that if there's chickens around, and they're going to eat the food, they're going to eat the seeds before it's possible for them to take root, then we'll be able to throw them out. Or if you threw them into a place where everybody walks, when there's a lot of through traffic, then you don't have growth. Growth cannot grow where people walk all the time. So if you drop a seed or a pit or something like that in a place where, on a pathway where there's a lot of foot traffic, then you don't have to worry about that it's going to take root. But otherwise, one has to be careful where one throws out pips on Shabbos. One may not take the pip of an avocado and put it into a cup of water, that it should sprout roots and start growing. If you have an avocado pip in water already, you're not going to take it out. It's getting sustenance from the water, and when you take it out, you're now breaking it. You're disconnecting from the sustenance that will be kosher. And also, you should know that if you do have an avocado pit in a cup of water, you should know that it's mukta, you know, moving it around. Now, as we said above, one of the melachos of zareya is watering. Watering is also on Shabbos. This is also even into a pot plant, irrelevant of whether it has a hole or not. Therefore, you cannot pour water onto the ground, even if you're not intending right now to water it, but that is a psik resha to pour water onto the ground. And therefore, one has to be careful not to pour water onto the ground on Shabbos if the ground that you're dealing with is that type of ground where something is growing or has the potential to grow. Because when you put water on the ground where something's growing, that's zareya. If it's nothing's growing, but they have the potential you're going to plant in the future, then it's also a problem because that is harisha. Because harisha is when you prepare the land, and preparing the land would be like softening. If you pour liquid out, that would soften it. So that is also considered as a tonga of harisha, which it would be awesome. Therefore, says the Rama, that it is advisable, it says also, it's just toy, it's advisable not to eat outdoors on such ground on Shabbos. Not eat on your lawn or some other place where things grow on Shabbos, because chances are when you eat, you're going to drink. And when you drink, the chances are you're going to spill. And when you spill, it's going to go into the ground. And therefore, it is, as I said, it's not for sure going to happen. And it's, people can be careful and whatever. And therefore, he doesn't say it's asu, but he says it's recommended not to eat outdoors on a place where if you would spill, it would be considered as zareah. Someone who is eating outdoors should know that he's careful not to spill, but he also has to be careful not to wash his hands. Like if you have a sukkah and you wash the tefillah as you're dying, don't wash it onto the ground. Wash it into a bowl. If you're going to wash off some dishes, make sure you do it into a bowl. If you have, you're clearing up the table and someone didn't finish their cup of water, don't pour the water onto the floor, carry it into the house and pour it into the sink. Another practical thing to keep in mind, if you left a container outdoors in your garden and it rained and now this container has rainwater inside, during the week you walk past and your habit is to just turn it over and empty it out, don't do that on Shabbos. Emptying out the rainwater onto the ground would be a problem on Shabbos. According to the halacha, urinating on the ground is permissible because it is considered as being harmful to the plants. And even if there's no plants, you say, well, the liquid might be softening the ground. The Chazon Ish holds that if it's that type of liquid that's considered harmful, then even as harisha, it's not an isur because of the fact that it's harmful. To relieve oneself in a field is also on Shabbos, and one should also be careful not to spit onto the ground where there's something growing, because that liquid actually can be helpful to the so a small amount of liquid, but it is liquid that doesn't cause damage, but rather could be helpful, and therefore one should not spit on the ground either if there's something growing or something could be growing there. If you have a sink that empties out onto the ground, so it depends on how direct it is. If it is and the sink empties into a pipe then leads to a place where there's plants growing, that will be permissible to use that sink on Shabbos because that's not considered as pouring it onto the ground. As long as you have you don't have the tavana, you don't use the sink knowing, oh, my plants in the back are going to grow good, therefore I'm having that in mind, I'm going to grow well, that would be awesome. But if you need to use the sink, oh, and it's going to go there, so it's going to go there. But if your plant is, if your sink, you just need to use the sink and it goes through a pipe, so that's indirect, then will be permissible to such a sink on Shabbos. Which takes us to one more halacha, and that is if you have a water fountain for drinking, like they have in a lot of parks and public places, one has to be careful that the water fountain is not leading immediately onto a area where there's grass or could be grass, but rather if the water fountain spills out onto a paved area, then it would be permissible to use the water fountain over there. And then if it rolls down the paved area and then gets further to something that's growing, again, that will be like indirect, like it would be a pipe. But very often these water fountains are right next to the grass, so then you have to be careful on Shabbos not to use them. Watering systems, if you opened up your sprinklers or drippers or whatever watering system you have, if you opened up on Friday, you may leave it open so it continues watering on Shabbos because the halacha was put into effect before Shabbos, so therefore you've done nothing on Shabbos. And not only that, you can close the tap, obviously electronic tap, manual tap, you can close the tap on Shabbos, and that's not a problem. To use an automated watering system is a machlokes, really, as the Shmir Shabbos says, you should ask a rav. There's various issues that can be involved. It could be a maris ayin. People don't know that it's automated, and therefore they think you open your water on Shabbos. It could be a problem of Upshe Nilsa if you have sprinklers that make noise, and they spray. It could be that there's a difference between what the Israelis use, the tafta pot, the dripper system, and the sprinkler system. And therefore, there's essentially using timers would be mutter. You can have a timer to make your lights come on. You can use a timer to make your air conditioning come on. The chori should use a timer to make your watering system come on. But it depends on how much people are aware of ordered systems and how much does it make. Is it something that is noisy and makes people aware? Therefore, it's of no advantage to ask a shayla beforehand. You may not spread a sheet over your plants or even take the sheet off if the purpose is to help it grow. Something like that is going to encourage growth. If you have a hot house, you may go into the hot house, you may come out of the hot house, you may open the door and close the door behind you, as long as the reason you're doing it is in order to go in and go out. But if you open the, you go in and open the door because you know the hot house needs a bit of fresh air coming in, or you close the door because you know that you don't want any of the fresh air to come in, that would be asur, and you may not open the door or close the door in order to affect the what's going on in the hot house. It's only water if you're going in just because that's what you need to do and you're not thinking of the quality of the growth. Okay. Says a few more minutes, but I'm not sure how much we have. So stop and hold it for there this week, and everybody a wonderful week.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.